To run to win, Lord. I thank you for the message that you gave to Paul Frick last week, Lord. Run to win. That we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You want us, Lord, to walk and run and chase after you, Lord. Your presence, your glory, your truth, your righteousness, your will for our lives, you want us to pursue. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We ask for the grace and the strength to do that, to go beyond, Lord, just the milk of the word to the meat of the word, to go beyond surface and basic things to deeper things, to grow and mature. That's where you're calling us, Lord, to get deeper in your word, more sensitive to your voice, to be more led by your spirit, to be overcoming the flesh, the devil, and sin in this world. Well, that's what you want, Lord. And we pray that you would help us do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be here this morning. Hallelujah. We welcome everyone here to Fire and Grace Church this morning. Welcome those watching and listening by all the different means, Facebook, YouTube, websites, our websites, and Blog Talk Radio, and so forth. It's good to be back. Hallelujah. We enjoyed our time in North Carolina with Pastor Ted and starting the church there. It was a good service. I think there was 29 or 30, somewhere around that showed up for the first service. And I think the Lord has given Pastor Ted some good people there. And I'm just excited about what's going to happen. We'll definitely be back. Also some news. You know, I talked with, Pastor John Kerrigan, who's going to be starting a church affiliated with us, a different name, Awakening Truth Church, but they're going to be starting that church here very, very soon. They're in, I guess it's Buena Vista, Colorado. They're about, I guess, around 2 hours or so west of Denver. So I'll be going out to Denver here at some point, flying out there to ordain Pastor John and be with them, and they came and visited us, what was it, about a year ago or something here? I can't remember. It's been so long now. Time flies. But anyway, so there will be a church affiliated with us on the East Coast side and toward the Midwest, toward the West side. So God is starting to establish churches that believe, you know, what the Bible says about certain things. But this morning, we're going to get into the Word this morning. I've entitled this message, and I don't know if you grabbed that picture or not. I don't know if I even sent it to you, but called it this morning, Battling Milk-Addicted Christians. Battling Milk-Addicted Christians. Let me just say that my vacation week, because after we left Raleigh, we went to the Blue Ridge Mountains, first time ever to spent a few days in a cabin in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It was beautiful. It was, I actually think, you know, I love going to the beach, but I actually believe that I enjoyed time in the mountains better. In fact, we're going to have to do this at a church at some point because these cabins are massive. I could not believe they called it a cabin. It was more like a mansion, 3 floors. And it was, listen to this, we got it cheap. Than what we would have paid for a hotel room at the beach. And this place, we could have taken 15 people with. I mean, it was just insane. I'd never been there before, but just beautiful place in North Georgia, the Blue Ridge Mountains. But anyway, in spite of having vacation time, of course, it seems as though my battles with Christians never end. It's just ongoing. If I post anything, if I share anything on social media, or even stuff that gets older stuff, even stuff that's been on YouTube and Facebook and podcasts for a long time. I'll get messages, and some are good and some are not. And the battles just blow my mind. But it really hit me in a debate last night, because listen to this. I've been in battling, and what I say, milk addicted Christians over the Torah observance issue this week, over the once saved, always saved issue this week, over even the baptism of the Holy Spirit this week, defending pedophiles, people defending pedophiles, defending the Roman Catholic Church. And some of these, one was a pastor's wife that ought to know better. One claimed to be a pastor. I mean, it's mind-boggling. Last night it was flat earth, and is creation important? One, a lady who was, she said she was married to a pastor for 20 years, telling me that talk about what the Bible says about creation and the nature of God's creation is blasphemous and divisive. And so just, you know, I'm going to throw up some, oh yeah. I mean, I even had a guy who said he was a minister of the gospel telling me that repentance is not to be even part of salvation or Christian life. Repentance is not even involved. And I'm just, my mind is blown. Let's just put it that way. I sit back sometimes, and the Lord last night, though, he reminded me that pretty much the source of division, one of the primary sources of division, is not Christians who try to go deeper in the Word of God. We are the ones that get accused of the division, but it's really the ones who refuse to move on from the milk of the Word. And you go ahead and put these up right here. I don't know why. I don't know if you're seeing on the monitor, but my illustrations here. But there are those who refuse to grow from the milk of the Word. A lot of them are just sucking on empty bottles. They're not even sucking on milk, right? And then they've got their security from false doctrines of men and traditions of men. Their little security, you know, stuffed animals and security blankets like Linus that they don't want to turn loose of. We'll get to that in a second. But they're really the ones that will not turn loose of milk or even their empty bottles. I remember, you know, my sister, when she was a baby, I used to wake up in the morning to, because her room was right next to ours, and she was like 2 years old. I think my mom let her stay on a bottle too long, and you'd hear her sucking on the empty bottle, just the squeaking of an empty bottle. And I thought, when is she going to figure out it's empty and stop waking me up, you know? But this is what is going on. Now, I'm going to give you, let's look at some verses this morning to lay the foundation for this, because I'm going to be going all over the place. And we'll just lay the bottle down for a second. Let's first go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's where we'll start this morning. Thank you, Faith, and others for letting me borrow these props. These do not belong to me. I turned loose of them many years ago. This is Faith Marie's little bear and blanket. This is one of her baby blankets, wasn't it? Faith's little baby blanket. Hallelujah. Well, let's read 1 Corinthians. Come on, bear, sit. 1 Corinthians 3, we're going to start at verse 1 this morning. So you'll see what I'm talking about. Paul speaking to Christians, to the church of Corinth, born-again Christians. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal to walk as men or mere men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." And then he goes on to talk about the foundation. Well, in fact, let's just go on and read it. Go down to verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then he talks about building upon that foundation. Let's turn there. And, of course, I want you to see, just remember, he tells them, look, I fed you with milk and not with meat because you were not able, and even now you're not able. And he says that there's strife, envying, and divisions among you because of this. This inability, let me tell you something, this inability for people to go deeper in the Word of God because they dig in. They learn a little something. They think they know something. They get in pride or whatever, or they're in a church that won't teach them anything. But they get dug into that position, that bunker of this milk is good. I don't want the peas. I don't want the meat. I don't want the liver. You know, I don't want anything that tastes bad or is uncomfortable. I'm satisfied with the milk. I'm dug in. And then someone comes along and says, hey, you know what? You've been saved a few years. It's time to learn some things that's in the scriptures. Oh, no, 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 no. Here's one you'll hear. No, 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 no. So we just need to stick to the basic gospel message. Well, let me tell you, I hope if you're born again Christian, you got that one down. Most people don't, though. I'm going to tell you right now. They don't even have the basics down. But dare come along and say, hey, there's more you need to learn. There's more you need to study. There's more you need to understand. There's more you need to experience in God. And a lot of them get you and say, you're causing division. No, sir. I'm not causing division because I'm willing to keep studying, learning, growing, moving on, and embracing all of the scripture. I'm not the one causing division. You still sucking on your bottle and holding your little blankie. You're the one causing division. I mean, I had to tell that woman tonight arguing about the true nature of creation. I had to tell her, do yourself a favor. Get a lexicon and actually study this. If you study what the Bible says about this, you will only come to one conclusion, that the heliocentric view is a lie. It is not biblical. Now, if you want to believe it, that's your business. Tell me that I'm blasphemous and demonic because I actually believe that the earth is still in at rest because the Bible says it is. That's a Christian. That's a Christian clinging. No, no, no. I'm not letting go of my ball orbiting, flying through the universe, Earth. It's not biblical. I'm not letting go of Copernicus. I love it. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go of the murderer John Calvin and his theology. I'm not letting go of the Roman Catholic Church. I'm not letting go. No, no, no. Keeping my milk or my empty bottle, I'm keeping my doctrines of men, and you're not taking it from me, Mike. Paul, I don't care what you say. If you come and try to take it from me, you're a mean. Where's your love? Would you dare come and try to take my bear and my blankie? You mean Christian, where's your love? Where's your love, Pastor Dean? Where's your truth? Where's your spiritual maturity? Where's your growth? Where's the meat of the word in your life? Where are you showing the ability to be teachable, humble, and learn something and admit you don't know something? Instead of calling people names when they're just trying to tell you, guess what? I found out what the scripture says about this or about that. We need to look into this. Maybe we need to embrace what the Bible says about this. No, no, don't take my blankie. I'm satisfied. Don't take my sensitive mega church theology. I want to be comfortable, cozy in my little baby crib. You know, it's amazing how baby goats are so cute, but they grow up to be little devils, don't they? We'll get back to that in a minute. Paul said, I spoke unto you as unto babes in Christ. I fed you milk and not with meat. You were not able to hear. I mean, you want to, that's really, that's what the Lord, see, just not able to hear it. I mean, I know people say 30 years and I started talking about the Nephilim, the giants. Lose their minds. What are you doing? You shouldn't be preaching on that. That's a distraction from the gospel. Really? You know what it did when I started preaching and teaching on the Nephilim and the giants? The truth about it, what the scriptures say? You know what was answered? One of the stumbling blocks for unbelievers or those, you know, wrestling with the Bible couldn't understand. Why would God order the Israelites or himself go and destroy entire people groups, men, women, and children? That sounds quite cruel and mean, right? But in proper context, once you realize that they were not fully human, once you realize that they were evil and they were destroying the human race, and that God had to intervene, changes the whole situation, doesn't it? I've had people say that once they saw that truth, that they understood that God wasn't out to be, you know, a mass murdering bully. They were actually trying to protect the human race from extinction due to Satan's work. And people have come to the Lord and they've accepted Jesus and been saved just over that truth alone. But I've had Christians tell me, don't teach on that. That's not my milk. No, let's don't talk about the giants. I'm sorry. The Bible does. If God didn't want it talked about, then why did he put it in his book? I mean, back in 2009 and 10, when I started talking about end-time Bible prophecy and how it's being fulfilled right now in many different ways and aspects, people would say, you don't need to talk about that. Why are you talking about that? We can't handle that. We can't bear that. We like our Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Don't give me any more than that. Oh, Pastor, don't talk about, you know, oh, I got the Holy Spirit when I say, don't talk about there being more. Don't talk about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm satisfied. I got my Baptist blankie. I got my Presbyterian bear and my Methodist bottle. I'm a Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm this, I'm that. Not this. I am not Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, or anything else. I just believe the Bible. And I want everything it says that I can have, that I should have, that I should know, that I should pursue, that I should receive. Oh, man. I'm in a mood this morning. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. See, some people got offended when I brought a sword to church. They thought, you know, me carrying around the sword was offensive. I wonder if the bottle and the little bear and the blankie's okay. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read this. In fact, we're going to read from verse 8, speaking because it's speaking of Jesus, the context of Jesus. I love this passage. Of course, this is a passage I got in trouble for. The once saved, always saved people, the hyper grace, the Calvinist people, they hate this verse because it talks about Jesus becoming the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him, not just those who have mental assent belief in him. Isn't that interesting? Let's read this. From verse 8, Hebrews 5, verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now let me just say here, this is so powerful, because here he just gives them, he talks about Jesus being the Son of God and being obedient and showing us how we're to walk. And then he says, and because he never sinned and he laid down his life for our sins, he was made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. So he's talking the basic salvation, you know, faith, repentance message. And then he says, you know, that Jesus was made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he says, I'd kind of like to talk to y'all about that. But that's a little deeper. He says, see, you know, you guys are dull of hearing, because the time has come. You should be teaching, yet I've got to feed you with milk again, because you are not getting it. And these Hebrew Christians here were wanting to go back to the Mosaic law and live under the old covenant as Christians. You hear that, Torah observers? I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, if you can't figure out that there are some differences between the old covenant and the new covenant, and that we now live under a new covenant, if you can't tell that, you need to read and study your Bible again. You're being deceived. And this is not new. The apostles dealt with this deception in the beginning. In Acts 15, the questions, do we have to keep the Sabbath and the law of Moses and the ceremonies and the feasts and the rituals and the new moons? And the apostles dealt with it. The council of the apostles dealt with it. Peter dealt with it. Paul dealt with it. But now there's entire, because of this heresy in the Torah observance, again, going back under the law, because of this heresy, many people are throwing out the writings of Paul. And saying the writings of Paul are not part of the New Testament, shouldn't have been there, he was a heretic. That's half the New Testament. And these people are calling themselves Christians. No, listen, if you're going back under the old covenant to try to live the Christian life, you're sucking old milk. You hear what I'm saying? Old milk. It had its time. Well, God hasn't changed, but the covenant changed. Or else you better get back to sacrificing animals. Oh, that part changed, Pastor D. Okay. Then get back to, you need to go back to your Levitical priesthood for your cleansings and different ceremonial cleansings. Oh, but Jesus, our high priest. Now, oh, so that changed too. Well, guess what? Sabbath requirement observance changed as well. Not by the Catholic Church, by the apostles. It's not required. Jesus is our Sabbath. He fulfilled it. He's our feast. He fulfilled them. I mean, how many times, folks, let me tell you something. When Jesus says he fulfilled the law, let's say, who has a mortgage payment in here? Anybody have a mortgage on their house? Okay, you got a mortgage on your house. All right, I come along and I pay off the mortgage of your house. Mike, are you going to keep going and trying to pay for the mortgage? Would you keep trying to write a check to the bank or the mortgage company? Because I completed that mortgage. I fulfilled that mortgage. You don't have to do it now. All you got to do is say, thank you, Pastor Dean, and be joyful. I mean, literally, I'm blown away. Oh, but you know, we got to keep the feast. Really? Where does it say that in the New Testament? Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law. No, he didn't destroy anything. He fulfilled it. We couldn't fulfill it. He fulfilled it. And if I'm in him through faith, if I'm in Christ Jesus, he is my Sabbath. He is my Passover. He's the one who circumcised my heart. The law is fulfilled in me if I'm in him. I don't have to try to go back and fulfill what he fulfilled. That doesn't say we don't have a moral standard in the new covenant. We do. You can't be an adulterer, a fornicator, a homosexual, a practicing idolater. The New Testament is clear. You can't be a immoral, lawless person. But there's new covenant law and there's old covenant law. Some of the old covenant law passed over. Some of it did not. That is basic Christianity 101 that I learned when I first got saved. That is milk. New covenant, old covenant, that's milk. And yet, we have an entire movement deceiving people back into this, trying to go back under the law of Moses and suck the old milk. And Paul is saying here, and in fact, the book of Hebrews is trying to deal with this whole issue. The law has changed, he said. The priesthood's changed. The sacrifices have changed. It's changed. There's certain laws been disannulled. And he says here, the time you ought to be teachers, I need to teach you again the basic foundational things. You're still sucking milk. You can't handle meat. In fact, you know, Paul says in Romans 14, he says the one that says, oh, we can only eat this kind of food and we have to keep this day and esteem this day above another day, he says that person's weak in faith. You're weak. If you think you got to go back and try to keep the law of Moses, you are weak in faith. That's what the Bible says. Oh, that's right. But if you throw out Romans, you Paul, you got to throw out Romans. Right? I'm going to tell you, if you're doing that right there, you're a complete heretic and you have departed from the faith. If you're throwing out half the New Testament because you won't go back under the old covenant. I mean, that's just one issue. Just one right there. Notice what he says. I'm going to read it again. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing, but when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Listen, I got people out there who've been saved 2, 3, 4 years maybe, and they actually think that they're experts in the Bible. It's really mind-boggling. But I can tell you this, that it's not necessarily time either. I know people that have been saved 20, 30, and 40 years, but because they're still clinging to their baba and their baby and their blankie, they might have been a Christian for 30 or 40 years, but they're still a babe in Christ. Because they haven't grown, they haven't matured, they haven't learned much. And this is across the board. I'm not picking on any one. Baptists do this, Pentecostals do this, Presbyterians do this, Methodists do this. Doesn't matter what label you label yourself with, you can decide, this is comfortable. You know, these things are soft. They do feel kind of good, don't they? But if y'all came to my house and saw me snuggled up on the couch with these things, y'all would say, Pastor Dean's got some problems. He's got some issues. But this in the spirit realm, this is what many, many adults should be full grown, should be mature, should be growing Christians. This is what they look like. We're supposed to be warriors, soldiers, carrying a sword, having on an armor. Not offended by anything in the scriptures. Instead, though, wait. Come here, Josiah. I'm going to take my blankie from you. Come here. Come on, you're a strong young man. I'm going to take my blankie from you. Here's what happened. Oh, wait. Thank you, Josiah. That's what happens. Go snatch their blankie. Let me tell you, you want to What is a blanket for a child that should be past the age of needing a security blanket? Let me tell you, the biggest security blanket lie of the devil in the church right now is that once you're saved, you're always saved. It is, because, I got my girlfriend aside here and I can't stop fornication, but I'm eternally secure no matter how I live. Nobody ever take that from me. Because the moment you take it from somebody who wants to cling to their sin and you snatch away the lie of I'm once saved, always saved, no matter how I live my life. Oh, boy. I had one guy go on Facebook. He went from loving me this week to calling me a wolf because I snatched his little blankie, his false security of once saved, always saved, away from him by listing a whole long list of Bible passages. I didn't really even comment much on it. I just listed Bible passages. And it snatched his little blanket away from it. And all of a sudden, I go from being little Pastor Dean to a wolf. Because I'm a meanie. He took his little blanket from me. Oh, I should have had a globe up here because it's the same thing. I should have brought my prop. I do possess one globe as just a prop, but it's stuck in a closet somewhere. I thought about taking the shotgun to it just to see what happened. Let me show you. Folks, God wants us to go deeper. If I hear one more time from a Christian it should be mature, why don't we just stick with the basic Jesus died for your sins and rose again and that's good enough? I had to tell somebody was, again, the whole flat earth issue because, goodness, we've got people, people are doing tests now. Daryl Marbus, D. Marbus did a test, 10 miles with a laser, no curve. People are doing tests now all over the place. FE core, 25 miles or whatever, lasers. There's no curve. So our eyes have been opened now to the truth. We've been lied to. We've been lied to by pagans like Copernicus and Newton who were, into Hermeticism and all kinds of different pagan beliefs and created the whole heliocentric view. And then we see this passed down and we see the pseudoscience come in with evolution and then pushing it. And then the Freemasons and the Nazis and everybody who founded NASA pushing this entire lie, CGI pictures, composites, Photoshop picture of the earth because it had to be, right? But start telling Christians, here's what the Bible says about it. Blasphemy. You're a blasphemer. No, I'm not. I've spent the last 3 years digging into the scriptures on this. Hebrew lexicon, Greek lexicon, looking at the context, looking at the root words in Hebrew, looking at down to the very letters that were written. I've gone out to Mobile Bay 3 times myself to test the curvature for the curvature of the earth with the true math, 8 inches per mile square. I'm sitting here going, these Christians yelling, blasphemy, it's division, it doesn't matter. And I was telling this lady, I said, you know what, it may not matter to you, but it matters to the atheist that I'm seeing come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior because the Bible has credibility again. Because they figured out they've been lied to by modern science and by NASA and everybody else, and they finally figured it out, and there's evidence and there's proof, and it's bringing people back to the Bible, and it's bringing people back to finding Jesus Christ as the Messiah and their Lord and Savior and getting their sins washed away. I said, how many atheists have you led to the Lord lately? Let me guess, none. I said, let me tell you what matters to that atheist or that agnostic or that ancient alien believer who's finally seen the truth, that this place was created and that the Bible defined it all along. pretty serious stuff. Why don't we just stick? So you know what I told her? I said, what happened to just sticking to Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you, Jesus rose from the dead? I said, that's all good and true. But see, I thank God when I was 19 years old and I was away from God, falling away, bad, blinded, living in sin for 7 years, just full-blown, you know, from the time I was 12, just in college, I was just full-blown, immoral, sexually immoral, drug addicted, really, just crazy. And you know what God used in my life? There was an evangelist who did a, you know, one of those early rock and roll expose seminars. And the guy that I was working for, while we were working in this kitchen, in this restaurant, in this gourmet restaurant where he trained me to cook, while we're working, he was a Christian, he's witnessing to me, and he gave me the seminar, the rock and roll expose. I can't even remember which one it was, but he gave it to me on cassette, and I had the Sony Walkman on. Yeah, I was telling the dates here. Yes, I'm old. But while I'm working in the kitchen, getting everything ready to open the restaurant, I'm listening to this entire presentation series this evangelist did, exposing the satanic lyrics and the satanic worship and the satanic beliefs of many of the rock and roll and music artists that I loved at the time. Van Halen and Def Leppard and AC/DC and Bon Jovi. And I mean, we could go down the list. Black Sabbath, Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix. I mean, all of them I listened to. And as I listened to this series, God used that evangelist doing that presentation on rock and roll music to wake me up. And I remember thinking, I cannot believe that I have been listening to these lyrics and giving my money to these people. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and he said, your life is no better. Now, you have the Holy Spirit tell you your life's no better than a Satanist. Conviction. God awakened me with Holy Spirit conviction through that. Now, I wonder if that evangelist had some religious Pharisee Christians tell him, you know what, you need to drop this rock and roll seminar. Quit playing that rock and roll excerpt in the church. Man, what do you do? Just get to the basic gospel. Well, I thank God he didn't listen. Because God used that to get my attention, woke me up, and it brought me to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It brought me to repentance and faith and changed my whole life. And I quit the secular music and I quit the drink and the drugs because I saw the evil that it was and how it offended God and how dark and deceptive and depressive and oppressive and how full of witchcraft and evil it was. I didn't want any part of it anymore. I wanted to follow Jesus. Somebody had to tell me, put down the rock music. I put it down. Nobody had to tell me, put down the drugs. Guess what? Once the Holy Spirit deals with you and wakes you up, you want to put down the drugs. You want to put down the sexual sin. You want to put down the alcohol. You want to put down the sick secular. And let me just tell you right now. I'm going to tell you guys right now. I'm getting ready. I'm digging and preparing a message that we're going to take the little children and going to have to go downstairs. Because you guys just don't know how many music artists now, Hollywood people, politicians, and, of course, Roman Catholic priests are pedophiles, child molesters, involved in satanic rituals even. Yes, Roman Catholic priests. Listen, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, just busted. Over 300 priests just busted by the state. Thousands of victims. But this thing's been getting exposed about what's going on in pedophilia in the Roman Catholic Church really since the 80s. In Ireland, now in Chile, America has been the worst. Europe, oh yeah, Hollywood's getting real. Oh, almost every movie, let's think about this, almost every single movie you can pretty much bank on either one of the actors, the directors, the producers, the stunt professionals are pedophiles. They're predators. Y'all are going to be blown away. I mean, I didn't even remember this. But I found, showed it my wife last night. This guy did it very tastefully. He black boxed everything out. But Brooke Shields, remember her? She's still around. She's a couple of years older than me. Brooke Shields, Blue Lagoon, Endless Love, these movies that I grew up with. Well, I didn't know she did a movie before that when she was 12 called Pretty Baby, where she played a child prostitute and ran around in the film naked. And pretty much it was known that pedophilia was going on. But come to find out that when she was 10 years old, she was taking pictures of nude in bathtubs and oiled up, and that was put in Playboy magazine. They've been pushing this whole thing for a long time. Hollywood and the music industry is corrupt from the top to the bottom with pedophiles. And the Roman Catholic Church is eaten up with it. What do you think when you call a church the great whore, the mother of harlots? That would tend to reveal a sexual issue. I had somebody try to defend the Catholic Church this week. Well, pedophilia happens everywhere. Yeah, it happens everywhere, but nowhere like the Catholic Church. Because, see, this crap's been going on in the Catholic Church for centuries, even before Hollywood existed. The Catholic Church is responsible for torture, rape, stealing, killing millions of Christians, true Christians. And see, let me just tell you what's going on, too. All these pedophile priests, all this bust that's going on, this whole thing. Listen, it's going on the satanic community, the political community, the music industry, they're eaten up full of pedophiles and Satanists. But see, what they're doing is that to the world, a lot of the world looks at the Roman Catholic Church as representing Christianity when truly it never has, not from its beginning, nor has it ever been the true church of Jesus Christ. Never. It has always been idolatrous, pagan. It's always been a lie, a deception. It's always been dark evil. But to the world, they're going to look and see, I found this interesting. That's why you look in the book of Revelation, it says the beast system, the satanic antichrist beast system at the end, it says, will hate the whore and destroy her. Do you think that it may, the beast decide, you know what? We're going to make an example of these Christians because they're all pedophiles. And the beast system will destroy the whore, even though the whore helped the beast to rise to power. I'm going to talk about that in a day ahead. But see, here again, I'll have somebody complain that I talked about that because Lord knows we need to just stick to the milk. We can't even talk about how the Bible talks about and says that one of the signs of the end times would be selling children for harlots to make children sexual slaves and stuff. Oh, yeah, this is going on. Now, listen, I'm going to say it to you guys, to you children and you young people in here. If anybody ever makes a move toward you that is inappropriate, and you know what I'm talking about, to touch you where you shouldn't be touched, better tell your parents and tell some adults immediately. I don't care if they any move they make, you better tell somebody, because these people are everywhere. That's why Faith Marie is guarded like a hawk. People want to say something about me carrying a gun. I carry a gun because I have a daughter. Oh, Pastor Dean, you shouldn't defend yourself. I ain't worried about me. It's her. Oh, yeah, I had two pedophiles eyeballing her in Walmart trying to see if they could snatch her from me. That's when my hand went on my gun. And believe it or not, yes, Pastor Dean would have dropped those two guys on the spot if they tried to take my little girl. They'd be clean up on aisle five. With the yellow tape around it. These people are everywhere. Everywhere. I wouldn't let my child do a thing in Hollywood. And I wouldn't let my child set foot in anything Roman Catholic. That's just a good place to start, right there. All right? Y'all okay? Mm-hmm. Guess what? It's only 10 minutes to 12. I'm just fired up this morning. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being blamed, hard-headed, stubborn little baby Christians who don't want to grow up, who don't want to deal with stuff. And listen, it's the truth. Jesus said this. Look at Matthew 4. Look at some things. Y'all don't mind if I preach just for a few more minutes, do you? Matthew 4. Here's what Jesus said. And I love this. Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered, Jesus speaking, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The scriptures are important. The word of God is important. It must be taken in its context. It must be taken in its original language and meanings and definitions. We can't just decide arbitrarily what something means or doesn't mean. We can't just create a doctrine out of one verse. And this is something I need to listen. Just because you know a couple of verses does not mean that that's a doctrine. A doctrinal position, a doctrinal belief is what the Bible says about a particular subject from Genesis to Revelation, and you put all that together and you get the full understanding of it. That's how you study to show yourself approved. That's how you rightly divide the word of truth. I have people all the time taking a verse here or there, and they think that that's proving their false doctrine they're in, that they think that's proving themselves to be true. Especially when it comes to once saved, they grab a couple of verses in John 6 or in John 10 and ignore the mountain of verses. And you know what I learned long ago? I mean, I learned this as a 19-year-old, 20-year-old, 21 years old, that if the Bible appears to say two different things, then I know God does not contradict himself. But if there isn't an apparent contradiction, or it appears something is saying opposite, obviously there's something I don't understand either in the definition or the translation or the original language or context that I need to study and dig into until I reconcile the matter. And see, that's what I have done for 31 years, is I've spent my time studying until I could reconcile these things. But there's a few Christians, they've heard their megachurch pastor preach a couple of verses from John 6, and they think, I'm eternally secure no matter how I live. Well, you better wake up and read some other passages, because there's some ifs in there. If. But I could spend a whole another hour on just that issue alone, but I'm not doing that this morning. I will address it. I've addressed the issue from Scripture that the thing that you're once saved, always saved, no matter how you live, is so contrary to the context of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation that I can't believe anyone believes it. If you actually read and study the Scriptures. But if you just listen to your megachurch pastor or your seminary trained by Jesuit pastor, or your pastor who's just worried about money and numbers, then he's going to tell you what will keep you in his pew or in his chair and giving into the offering plate. No, it's not comfortable to say adulterers, habitual practicing adulterers, will not inherit the kingdom of God, which is so plainly written in the book of Galatians, in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Revelation. If you're a habitual practicing adulterer, fornicator, idolater, sorcerer, murderer, racist, the Bible lists sins that are unto death. And if you practice them habitually without repentance, confession, and turning away from them, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That goes for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're born again at one point in the past or you're not born again. If you live according to the flesh, you will die and be separated from God, who is life. And you will live eternity in hell. And there is a difference. I get people, here's another lie. Here's an empty bottle. Here's an empty bottle belief. It's not even milk. Because the preacher on the post with the pastor's wife that was defending the pedophiles in the Roman Catholic Church said, isn't all sin the same? When did sin become different? I'm like, let me ask you something. I'm stealing my pit right now. Stole your pit. Anybody a pen stealer in here by accident? Anybody ever do? I do it a lot. I steal people's pens. I don't try to. They give it to me to sign something, and I keep it. Right? So that's a sin. I stole their pen. Right? I wonder if that's the same thing raping a woman. Or a child, for that matter. Yeah, sin's all the same to God. You're a fool if you think that for a second. You can have your pen back. Bible says in 1 John 5, there are sins unto death and sins not unto death. So even the Bible says, inadvertently stealing Marlene's pen is not going to send me to hell. Habitually molesting a child will. Habitually committing adultery, habitually living in idolatry, praying to Mary will. The Bible spells out the sins that you practice that will be unto death and eternal damnation. It spells it out if you practice them. Repentance is confessing, saying, God, please forgive me, and you stop practicing the sin. That's repentance. And repentance is all through the New Testament. Can you put a guy's quote for me? Let's do this real quick. This is the guy. I'm going to show you the comment on my Facebook page. This guy literally said this right here. He said, sorry, brother. I totally disagree with you. And I had done is listed all those passages about proving that once you're saved, you're always saved is not true. You can fall away, depart from God, live in sin, unbelief, and be lost. Right? Gave all the passages. Sorry, brother, I totally disagree with you. My faith in Christ alone is not doctrines of demons. I refuse to mix any of my works, including repentance, into the precious finished work of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Doesn't that sound spiritual? And yet Jesus himself said in Mark and Matthew and Luke, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. O over and over again when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And 3,000 were pricked in their heart. They were convicted of their sin. They accepted the guilt and crime against God and man. And he said to Peter, what should we do? What do we do to be saved? What do we do to be forgiven? What do we do to receive this salvation, this forgiveness from the Messiah? What do we do, men and brethren? And Peter says, repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. I guess Peter didn't know what he was talking about. Repent. The word repent, metanoia, simple word, means to change the way you think, to change the way you act, to change the way you live. The strong definition uses the word reformation, which means to change something that's on a wrong path and put it on the right path. I mean, Paul said Ephesians 4, let him that stole steal no more. Imagine that. Ephesians 5, he says, fornication, drunkenness, adultery, let these things be. Not once named among you has become a saint. Don't let it happen once. And we got people saying, I know I'm an adulterer. I know I got a honey on the side. But they told me I was saved forever and that my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Don't take that away from me, Pastor Dean, by quoting 2 Peter 2, Hebrews 10, Luke 8, Luke 12. Oh, how about Jesus' message to the churches? If you're lukewarm, I will spew you, vomit you out of my mouth. Repent, he said, to the church of Laodicea. He told the church of Sardis, Revelation 2 and 3, go read it for you. He told the church at Sardis, he said, some in Sardis have defiled their garments. They've defiled themselves, meaning they had been washed. They had robes of righteousness. They had the white robes, but they've defiled those garments. That's Christians. And he said, guess what? If they don't overcome that, if they don't repent, if they don't get that washed clean, I'm going to blot their names out of the book of life. Let me tell you what the Bible says in Revelation 20:15. It says, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what the book says. So if Jesus is talking to the church, the Christians in Sardis, and he says, if you don't overcome the sin and the defiling of your garments, if you don't overcome this, and how do you overcome sin? You confess it and you repent of it and you let the blood of Jesus wash it away. That's what 1 John 1:9-8-9 says. If we sin, he says what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. The pastor's wife on the post, local pastor's wife, defending pedophile, said this, her exact words. Put them up right there. I want you everybody to see this. She said this, that pedophiles are forgiven. No, ma'am, they're not. They better confess their sins and actually admit what they've done to the authorities, because not only have they sinned against God, they have committed a serious crime. And they need to pay for that crime, and they need to be truly sorrowful, truly repentant, and truly leaving that sin. Here's what she said. Because the post was about the pedophile priest. Just remember, God, the Almighty Creator, forgives the pedophile. No conditions on if he repents, if he is truly sorrowful and remorseful and humble and changes his ways. This is a pastor's wife in town. Oh, well, maybe she misspoke. Maybe she just didn't write it. No, she said, remember, God, the Almighty Creator, forgives the pedophile. No, he does not. The pedophile will burn in hell. Let me just say this to you, too. This is something, and I'm gonna close on this. You want to talk about milk? Here's milk. There are Christians that are so clinging to the milk and to their empty little bottles and their false men. They're so clinging to it. They can't even accept that God Almighty, the Creator, Yahweh, Elohim, the Lord Jesus Christ, can't even handle the fact that He is also a God of wrath, justice, and judgment, and He's going to bring it down upon the wicked. In fact, He says in Romans 1 that those who've given themselves over to immorality and fornication, and He even shows homosexuality, He says some of them have been given over to it, meaning God's not even convicting them anymore. He's not even drawing them anymore. He's seared their conscience, is seared against Him. They're not going to make it. They're already crossed the point of no return. How much more a serial pedophile? I'm sorry, I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. As sick and perverted and unnatural as it is for two men to engage in sodomy, and God to say those kind of people can reach the point where they are done even before they die, I will not hear them. They are under judgment, given over to their sin and to their eternal damnation. How much more the man that rapes little children again and again and again and again. You have to be one sick, demonized person with absolutely no conscience if you can do that to a child. And there are people doing this to toddlers and babies. Y'all just wait. I spent just about an hour a couple of weeks ago just on Homeland Security website just for the last 3 months. I could not believe how many busts for child pornography, child molestation in every state. Atlanta being huge. For some reason, Corpus Christi, Texas, huge. But Wisconsin, Delaware, Colorado. One guy was caught with how many images of child pornography? Probably several thousand. They said they identified over 100,000 children in these pictures. See, I'm going to tell you right now. People talk about America is Babylon. Mystery about, no, we're not. We're Sodom. America is Sodom and Gomorrah. And America will receive the same judgment as Sodom and Gomorrah. It's coming. Oh, it's coming. I've seen it. I've seen the East Coast and the West Coast of the United States destroyed. I've seen cities destroyed. I've seen, God told me, San Francisco will be destroyed by fire. I've seen the judgment of God coming to this wickedness in our land. And it's coming. And it shocks us when it hits, but we shouldn't be shocked. Because see, the church is partly to blame. The church of Jesus Christ is partly to blame for the molested kids and the pornography and the complete breakdown of morality in our country, because the church quit holding up the standard of God. It quit holding up the justice and the judgment and the wrath and the anger of God towards such wickedness. To me, there's nothing more wicked going on with these pedophile rings and this sex trafficking rings. And the book of Joel talks about it. Right before Armageddon, he said they'll be selling a boy as a harlot for wine and a girl. God's word is always exactly true. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. This message I'm working on is called The Cry of Sodom. You know why it's called The Cry of Sodom? Because when the Lord came down to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, to visit it before he rained fire and brimstone upon the five cities of the plain, it wasn't about the sin of homosexuality. It says, the cry of Sodom has reached me. And if you look up the word cry there in Genesis 18, it means the cry of desperation, the cry of help, the cry of pain. It wasn't the homosexuals that were sodomizing each other and partying with each other. That's not all why God came. It was the cry of the little ones who wanted to be rescued from these perverts. And God finally said, that's it. I am done with this. He made an example. The book of Jude says that Sodom and Gomorrah, that they are suffering now the vengeance of eternal fire. As an example to us. And you know, there's been archaeologists, they've gone there, they know exactly where Sodom and Gomorrah was, that there's the only place in the world you can find 95% pure sulfur balls, because see, brimstone is sulfur. These little sulfur balls, ash. Let me tell you this, getting burned up on earth real quick, that's nothing compared to eternal judgment that's coming. Somebody talked about it. I said, you know what? If for no other reason, you better wake up and realize that there's a hell, because these pedophiles that get away with it, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of them get away with it because judges and law enforcement are a bunch of Freemasons and Satanists and Luciferians, and they help these cases get thrown out, and these kids never find justice. That's why there's a hell, because there will be justice, my friend. You may escape man's justice, but you will never escape God's justice. And though it's very long, wait for it, because it's coming. These evil Satanists. I mean, there's some evil stuff. There's some stuff I can't even say in the room. I probably said too much already. But you know what? I think we got to warn our kids that these predators are around. We have to do that. That we live in such a wicked, sinful, evil place. And then we got Christians, like this pastor's wife here, making out like, oh, God just it looks at them the same, the pedophiles, you know. I'm sorry to be so blunt, but a man putting his private part in a toddler? Oh, he looks at that the same. You better snap out of it. That is wickedness. That is the pinnacle of wickedness and evil. And there's one, I saw, there's some Hollywood producer, there's comics and Hollywood producers just laughing it up about it. Making fun of it, making jokes about it. I found one picture, I guess I could put, but this comedian, was this guy in England sent me this, I guess he's Irish, or his accent's so thick, you can hardly understand him even though he's speaking English. But he's just foul mouth. I mean, it's just the F word every other word. But he said, you need to look at this. And so I was listening to it, and the guy starts making light of pedophilia. And I noticed on the background behind him, the Comedy Tour name, I took a screenshot of it, the Comedy Tour name was The Last Days of Sodom. I went, am I the only one seeing this? We are, folks, we are in a world of filth. Demonic, satanic, evil, and the only way to have power in this world of wickedness, evil, demons, and filth is to be born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, and determined that you're going to live for Him and walk with Him and obey Him and fight this evil
and expose it and not be part of it. Don't feed it with your eyes or your money or your energy or your time. Don't feed that beast. Anyway, it's time to put down the blankie, the animals, the milk. It's time to grow up, Christians. Stop being wimps. Stop complaining at pastors who start trying to teach you something and start trying to show you things that are going on. They're trying to take you a little deeper than your bottle sucking. You hear me? We got big fish to fry. Let's pray. In fact, let's stand this morning. After I pray, I want to do that song, Zach Williams, that we did a minute ago, before we leave this morning. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord, grieved and sad by the wickedness of this world. Lord, contrary to the false doctrines of men, all sin is not the same. The only answer for sin and wickedness and evil, that we've all sinned. The only answer for sin is what you did on the cross. Your blood. You paid a price for it. You rose from the dead. But you said, Lord, we have to repent. We have to believe it, what you did, and we have to repent. We have to be willing to confess our sins and turn from them. That is one of the most basic truths of the New Testament. Repentance from sin and a new faith walk of obedience with our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you to convict people, touch people, bring people out of practicing sin and wickedness, to surrender your lordship, to truly repent, and to receive the forgiveness and the cleansing blood of Jesus. And we ask you to watch over our children and protect them from these predators. Father, we pray this today in Jesus' name. I am not in Jesus. Life, forgiveness, truth is found in you, Jesus. But you are the one whose repentance, confessing and turning from sin and wickedness is required for forgiveness. It's not automatic. Lord, I pray that truth would penetrate every heart that hears this message. We love you, Lord. We praise your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So we out? No? Hold on a second. While you say this, any spots left? Okay. I'll say this real quick. The conference, just give a quick update. It is completely full. We have a waiting list. Now, yesterday, we had, two cancel yesterday, so two more be put in from the waiting list. So if you're on the waiting list, we don't know. Cancel between now and then. So if you want to try to come to the conference, just put your name on that waiting list. You may get in, and if not, hey, still come. You know, hang out in the lobby, and we'll do what we can, you know, until the fire marshal says you can't do anymore. All right. Anyway, can't wait. October 5th and 6th here in Auburn on College Street at the hotel at Auburn University. Dixon Conference Center, October 5th and 6th, coming quick. So, skyfall2018.com. But if you can't, listen to me, please pray and fast and pray for God to touch people. It's going to be an awesome time. So, and we will be broadcasting straight live just like we do all our services. So, anyway, a lot of people will be watching. So God bless. Hugs and necks before you leave. If you have any tithes or offerings, you know where the basket is. Bless y'all. Oh, yeah. We need to pray for Mr. High and lift it up over there. Maybe that's the problem. Let's pray for Kevin before we go. Got to pick on folks. It's the only way I know. And Cherie, that's right.